It is listener-supported radio, 91.3 WUKY. So proud to say that we've got Punch Brothers in the studio with us. Hello, guys.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome to the studios here at WUKY. We got Chris, Gabe, Gnome, and Paul.
Indeed.
Tuned up, ready to roll.
And Chris is two names.
That is Chris.
It's not like Jim or Yo-Yo, for instance.
The two Chrises.
There are two of us.
Guys, we're going to talk about your new record in just a few minutes and maybe some other things, how public radio has influenced you and so on and so forth. But let's hear a song. What do you say?
I say yes to song hearing.
One,
thank you.
Live music on Rock and Roots from 91.3 WKY. Good stuff from the Punch Brothers. That's off their latest. Who's Feeling Young Now? It's called Movement and Location. Just finished up a Prairie Home Companion.
Yes,
New York
indeed.
City. How's Garrison?
Garrison is awesome. Garrison is a true American genius.
What's that show like for you guys? Is it a highlight?
Absolutely, and I grew up on that show. I mean, some of my very early musical memories are listening to A Prairie Home Companion and hearing, you know, hearing that voice and the guys All-Star Shoe Band and those sketches. This was the first time I got to sing the Powder Milk Biscuits theme song, which was which was a thrill. Heavens, they're tasty and expeditious, giving shy persons the strength to go out and do what needs to be done.
Definitely a fan.
Oh, huge fan.
All fans. I think growing up, hearing Garrison's voice every weekend, usually coming out of car stereo, it makes the first time actually seeing him and hearing him speak simultaneously is quite surreal, to see that voice actually come out of a person for the first time. And it's always pretty exciting to be on that show. And it's one of the few things that still is truly live. That when you're playing, the people are listening in real time. I know there's a delay in some markets; it'll air on Sunday sometimes. But it's pretty neat to actually be on a real live radio show, because even the late night TV, all that is taped earlier in the day.
You're right. Anybody who sat in the audience for a taping or Prairie Home Companion, once that light comes on, it says on the air. You know that there are millions of people listening. Does that add any pressure there for you guys?
Oh, there's lots of pressure. I mean, but I think that the chief pressure in playing Prairie Home Companion is in, you know, trying to fit into the world that he's created. You know, he's like a micro creator in the spirit of like Twain or Tolkien or, you know, those kind of guys. And I think as a band, you know, as an outside creative entity, I think it's your duty to fit into his vision when you're on that show. And we, you know, that's one of the few shows that we ever play where we tailor the music to, you know, the vibe of the show, like to really like sculpt what we're doing around the, you know, the incredible thing that he's created.
Talk about your new record, the Who's Feeling Young Now? Where'd you come up with that title?
Well, it's a song, first and foremost. Who's Feeling Young Now is a song, but we thought it kind of applied to the width and breadth of the material, in the sense that a lot of the songs feature characters behaving badly and kind of facing the consequences. And
who might you be talking about there, Chris?
I don't know. It sounds like me, but it's not always me.
You guys are extremely well behaved.
No, not that either. But no, I think, you know, I actually use songwriting to sort of explore you know, some of the possibilities that I reject, and often I'm trying to teach myself lessons over the course of a lyric. But you know, we're all getting to the age in this band where the things that we do count. You can't just take a mulligan and try again. The hurt that you do other people, you know, it'll last. It'll scar.
Public radio is a big outlet for you guys. You mentioned that you've been listening to A Prairie Home Companion since you were a kid. Everybody in the room been listening to public radio for a while? A lot of heads going up and down.
Yeah.
Any personal stories you'd like to share about listening to public radio? Maybe what influence it's had on your songwriting or your performing or your listening habits?
Well, one thing I would point out immediately is that public radio is unique in that it has... you know, as a musical outlet, it has very little influence on the songwriting in a great way. In that, if you are writing to be included in your standard, you know, radio programming, you are boxed in. I mean, if you're writing songs to be played on the radio, for instance, commercial radio, the outlets available to you are few.
Aside from
musical options are incredibly limited.
Aside from social media, public radio is probably it.
Yeah, exactly. Public radio is the only thing that plays, you know, music that's not easily categorizable. So I think in that, I mean, it's a godsend for bands like us. And the reason it's had such a profound impact on our musical lives is that it's been you know, the only thing on the air that where we can expect to hear anything remotely nuanced. Honestly,
we like to do everything we can to support as many local artists as possible. Any live music that's happening around the town and the community. Is your public radio station doing that in your hometown? Can you give us a story about that? What town
absolutely.
Do you live in?
We all live in New York, and there are incredible kind of co-sponsorship events that go on between WNYC
and
WFUV, and the space is a new space in Manhattan where they're doing live broadcasts of Soundcheck, mm-hmm. and we're going to be doing that in a couple of weeks. So it's healthy in New York. When I was growing up, it was an event like something you're talking about that had a real profound effect on me. I was just learning the banjo, and I had heard Earl Scruggs and I'd heard bluegrass banjo, but then a guy at a record store gave me a Bela Fleck and the Flecktones CD. It was their debut record, and I couldn't believe the sounds that I was hearing, and I couldn't believe that he was playing the banjo with the same attack, the same kind of picking style as Earl Scruggs, and I wanted to see with my own eyes what was going on. And luckily, WBEZ in Chicago was sponsoring a Bela Fleck and the Flecktones concert at Navy Pier. And I was 8, and my parents called the host of the show that was kind of featuring their music and said that we're interested in coming to the show. And
he said, "Well, Mom and Dad,
you should not only should you come to the show, but we'll introduce you guys to the band." So the host Stuart Rosenberg of that show brought us down and got to meet Bela and the rest of the Flecktones, and it kind of changed my life.
And you did have a banjo by then, right?
Yeah, I didn't really know what I was doing on it, but brought it down and was wearing some multicolored socks and I think a Cubs hat and a Cubs shirt and possibly Cubs shorts, and got to meet the Flecktones.
Has your playing style or your writing style evolved? How many years you guys been together, Chris?
About six, and it's evolved much since the first.
Talk about that.
Since the first record, we initially were kind of running from anything remotely accessible, trying to make music that was maybe annoyingly unique. You gotta throw people a line, and I think that's something that we've learned over the course of the band's life is to have very solid footholds in the midst of you know your attempts at innovation, and music is about enabling transcendence in the people that are listening and you know ourselves included, and I think the more that we evaluated what pleases us as music fans, the less esoteric we wanted things to be, and now we're really trying to go for a balance between things that are satisfying cerebrally and viscerally. You know, you want to hit people in the heart and the gut as much as you hit them in the head.
Question from one of our listeners. Is it true that you got the name of the band because you secretly have a fight club?
No, that's not
no,
true.
It's not true. Our fight club is not secret, and you can join.
Okay.
You have to take on Paul Coward first.
Does Garrison have a fight club?
Garrison Keillor? I don't know. We're not privy to it. We're not privy to it.
Actually, no, it came from a Mark Twain story, right?
It did. A Mark Twain short story called Punch Brothers Punch.
Yeah. Another song from the record?
Yeah.
What do you got for us, guys? What are you going to play?
Do a song called This Girl.
And it's Punch Brothers Live on WUKY.
One, two, one, two, three, time, how are you doing? How is your son? How are his children? Are they just like me? You must be tired of hearing prayers like mine, no need nobody likes to know in their papers all they'll ever be. But there's this girl, this girl, this girl, this girl, this girl. And I'd be the happiest backslider in the world if you could tell her it's your will for us to be
Punch Brothers on Rock and Roots from 91.3 WKY. That is called This Girl. Is from their new CD on Nonesuch Records. Chris, Gabe, Noam, Chris, and Paul, thank you so much for stopping by.
Oh, thanks so much for having us. This was awesome.
Keep up
and congratulations, by the way, on the national championship. Richly deserved.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess you're right. You know, we try to remain humble around here because there's always next year.
There is always next year. I did see a gigantic 8 national championships banner on Rupp Arena.
One of those. So don't be surprised if you see a little blue and white floating around the theater tonight when you head down there to the Kentucky Theater. Hey,
you know, I lived in Kentucky for 5 years, so I feel good about it. In Murray, though, you know, I was sad my racers made an all too early exit.
I'm sorry.
But, you know.
Who? The who?
There's always next year.
Gentlemen, keep up the good work. Stay safe on the road and do us a favor and come back soon, will you?
Of course.